It's episode 125 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing some recent trailers, as well as Kubo and the Two Strings. Finally, you can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com, or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look us up on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. Or head on over to Facebook, search for the Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page. And we were going to do Westworld this episode, but I didn't want...
We're one man down,
and I didn't want Matt to cry like he did about the Star Wars one. So, we'll probably do that the next time, because I think he's seeing it this week. But the finale was last night. It was really, really good.
Awesome. One of the best finales, TV finales, there's been in a long time.
Yeah, it was really good. And so, I'm looking forward to our discussion on that because there's a lot to unpack in that show. Oh, at the box office, Moana is still winning, making Disney another fucking tract of 50 acres they can build something on. And in Orlando. I was doing the, I was posting last episode. And I was getting a poster for The Space Between Us. Did you know that movie?
You're getting a poster?
To put in the image for the thing. Did you know that movie was supposed to come out in August?
Yes.
And then they moved it to December.
Pushing it back.
And now it's moved, I think, to February.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's not good.
That movie's terrible.
Also, it looks like, I was just looking at this the other day, but it looks like, Civil War will hold on to be the biggest box office draw of the year. Dory's not going to catch it. They're very close.
Yes.
Very close, but it won't catch it.
Probably, yeah, for the calendar year when it ends.
Calendar year.
But as far as movies released this year, Rogue One, we don't know what that's going to do yet.
But you can't really count that this year. I mean, it's opening.
They always do, though. I mean, like, because they do that for, I think it was like Hunger Games one year, because that usually came out in November. And then that would cross
that's
the line.
That's stupid. It comes out 2 weeks before the fucking year's over. And
well, I'm sorry, Dirty A, but that's when it comes out this year.
But our question in the summer was, will Dory beat Civil War?
Right.
And then me and Matt were like, no, and you were, I think you'd be surprised. But
well, it was close, wasn't it?
Not quite.
Yeah, so.
So you were wrong.
So?
Yep.
So fuck you then. How about that?
Yep.
Speaking of Marvel, they released the latest trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume Dose. And it was probably one of the greatest trailers I've ever seen in my life. It was
so good.
Really good. And it's a teaser. "Quote unquote" a teaser trailer.
God damn it!
And I only say that because of the way that they did it. They didn't show anything really. They basically just show like one scene from the movie.
My problem with this is that fucking less than a month ago they already released a teaser.
I know.
Enough. And it was a great trailer. I'm not disputing that. But you literally just a month ago released a teaser. And now you're releasing another one?
Well, James Gunn has said that he's discussing with Marvel how they're going to try and keep a lot of stuff under wraps for this movie. Because Marvel is notorious. Well, Disney in general.
Already not doing a very good job if this is their way.
Well, no, I think they are. Because the first one they did was just that brief conversation between Drax and Star-Lord. And then... this one was really just pieces of that one scene.
Well, sure, but a month from now they're going to release more, and then they'll release more because that's just what they do these days, and it's just enough's enough.
I don't know. I mean, he seemed to make it sound like that they're going to.
I mean, I hope so. But
work with him on it.
I hope so, but I don't have much faith in that
because I mean, Doctor Strange, they revealed a ton of stuff, and Disney, as far as Rogue One, I mean, they're basically giving away the whole story
every day. They're like, oh, and here.
Yeah.
By the way, thanks. It comes out in a week. We're fine.
It comes out in a week, and they broke Fandango. People are going to go see the movie. Relax.
I can't remember who I was talking to. Was it you? I was talking to. Like they act like they're They're really going out on a limb with this one. We don't know. We're gonna try something new here.
It says Star Wars. It's gonna make money. But no, the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 trailer is fantastic. It is so funny. And Baby Groot is going to steal the movie because he's adorable. And
I've said it 100 times. The Guardians is my favorite Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. Just of entertainment value for me. That's right in my wheelhouse. And this looks better, if not just as good as the first one, based on this small trailer.
Right.
And if it's anywhere near as good as the trailer portrays it, I can't wait.
Right.
I mean, just so excited.
Yeah, it looks great. All the whole gang's there. And then we finally get to meet, I guess her name is Mantis.
Right.
She's the new character, played by Pom Klitmanoff or something like that. I forget how to pronounce her last name. But she is some kind of empath character or something, that she can read people's emotions.
That's so funny. Fucking Drax.
She revealed your deepest, darkest secret.
To me.
I'm Groot. But it looks really, really good. And so I'm excited for that. That comes out the first weekend in May.
Yeah.
And Universal released a new trailer today for Tom Cruise's The Mummy. And I don't know. I mean, it looks like it could be interesting.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's...
They did confirm, by the way, that Dracula Untold is not part of the MonsterVerse.
Wise move.
Yeah, smart. Smart.
Because that movie was a piece of shit.
Smart, Universal. Smart.
That movie's terrible.
So this would be the first movie
of their monster universe, right? Yeah. And Tom Cruise plays a guy who basically gets the mummy.
He plays a guy.
And Russell Crowe is in this as well.
He looks like the human bad guy.
Yeah, but
he seemed...
Do you know who he's playing?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. Because
I don't care. You're not going to spoil The Mummy for me, if that's what you're worried about.
He plays Dr. Jekyll.
Oh, okay.
So, it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. And the only reason why I might be mildly...
They'll do a whole movie with him.
Probably. So, I mean, the only reason why I might be interested in seeing it is because... I mean, I like Tom Cruise as an actor, and he doesn't make a whole lot of crap.
No, he's fine. This trailer just didn't do anything for me personally.
Right.
I'm not saying it'll be a terrible movie. It just fell flat for me.
Right.
But Tom Cruise, you're right. He doesn't. And lately, he's really been up in his game.
Oh, well, he's been doing the action movie thing like full tilt. Because he even said in an interview, he goes, I got to do it before I can't do it anymore, basically. Because he's 50-something now, so.
Well, but in Scientology years, he's like 32.
Okay. I didn't know that's how that worked, but all right.
Sure. I mean, you clean all those thetans out of your body.
Oh, that's right, right.
You get younger.
Sure. This episode brought to you by P.T. Anderson's The Master,
right.
Starring Philip Seymour Hoffman. Rest in peace. Yeah, so that was The Mummy. That was the other big trailer came out. And then I just showed you the latest trailer for Kong Skull Island, which comes out in March. There's a lot of stuff coming out in March.
Yeah.
Wolverine comes out in March. That comes out in March. I think I want to say that Beauty and the Beast comes out in March too.
That's so off my radar.
I know you don't care, but I'm just saying. I mean, that'll be a huge movie.
I'm just saying I didn't know when that came out.
The Kong trailer, it's interesting. It's
a lot more humor in there than I thought there'd be. There was more humor in that trailer than I thought the movie as a whole would have.
It looks like it's set like in the 70s or something like that. And I thought they might go the old, I guess it was a theatrical movie. I can't remember if it was a theatrical or TV movie. The one with Jessica Lange in it as the woman. And that was set in the 70s. I think, wasn't Jeff Bridges in that too?
That was a theatrical release.
It was a theatrical release? Yeah. I remember when I was a little kid, I saw it on TV, so I couldn't remember if it was.
It was the 70s. Yeah.
Right. So, I didn't know if...
Faye Dunaway was...
No, I think it was Jessica Lange.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Jessica Lange was the the girl. But that was actually set in the 70s, too. It was a modern... Charles Grodin was in it, too, I believe. It was like a modern-day retelling of King Kong. And this one's set in the 70s, but this really isn't going to go in that direction. This looks like it's almost that movie combined with Peter Jackson's movie.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's definitely more of an expedition type of movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a great cast. John Goodman's in it. Sam Jackson, Brie Larson, Tom Hiddleston, Corey Hawkins, who is in the NWA movie, Straight Outta Compton, and he's also going to be in the 24 Legacy. And the comedy comes from one of our favorite actors, yeah. John C. Reilly, shows up as some crazy guy.
Everything he says looks like it's just going to be a funny, funny thing. That's like that's his role in this movie.
The only thing I'm worried about with that is that I don't want it to feel like he's in like in a completely different movie.
Well, that was the problem with the trailer for me. It already felt that way.
Yeah.
And that may be just my expectations of what I thought the movie was going to be.
Right.
But it did feel like a totally different movie because the movie. The scenes without him in it look very gritty, look very Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of how it's filmed and it being like kind of a war type of story, or right. at least that feel to it, you know, an army regiment or whatever going into the jungle.
Right.
And then John C. Reilly comes on screen and says funny shit.
Hey, we're going to die. You should have come here.
And I'll never tell you not to put him in a movie.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, right.
What did he say? We call them skull crawlers.
Why do you call them that? Well, now that I say
that's the first thing I said out loud. Stupid. It doesn't sound nice. That's stupid. Call them whatever you want.
Anyway. But that comes out the week after Logan. So Logan comes out like March 3rd, and then this comes out the 10th.
Yeah, they're definitely...
summer movie season is expanding.
I have a feeling they're really going to push that movie come hard in a couple months.
Logan or Kong?
Kong.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because I think it also ties into Universal has a new ride, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're gonna really push.
Which is a great ride.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard somebody else went on. They said it wasn't that good.
What?
Yeah.
What? No. It's really cool because if they wanted to, it could be different every time you see it because you're totally immersed. So it's not. And this is probably why the person didn't like it. Whoever it was, it's because. It's not like your traditional roller coaster.
Right.
You know, there's no twist and turns to it. It's more of like an expedition ride.
Right.
So you're in like a cart going forward, and then all around you in a 3D screen.
So it's like the Harry Potter thing
going on. Yeah, but it's like, it's everywhere. It's like, you can't see everything at once like in Harry Potter.
Right.
Like you can either look this way or that way, but it's going on all around you. And I thought it was pretty cool because they could do whatever they want with that. You know, they could change the images.
Right.
They could change it to Kong anymore.
They could change it to match the movie.
Yeah. So, I thought it was pretty neat. You know?
Did they have an animatronic Kong, or was it just in the,
no,
it was just in the movie?
It was like, so you'd see like, there was kind of towards the end, like he's there, but doesn't move too much. And you see like an arm come down on you, but mostly you like feel it. So like they give a feeling of him jumping on the thing and then you see him jump off and then he's on the screen.
Right.
So not really. It's not, most of him is just, it's just on the screen.
It's not like the big giant spider in Harry Potter.
No.
Freak the fuck me. Freak me out. I was like, ah!
But there is a giant Kong there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. There you go. Another Universal review from Dirty
A. Great place to go. Great place to go.
It is.
But yeah, the movie looks like it'll be good. I mean,
hopefully.
Again, expectations are a little off now because I didn't expect that much comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to say.
John C. Reilly. People forget that he's been in a lot of dramas. Yeah. He's been like a straight guy. Yeah. And ever since he teamed up with Will Ferrell, it's been off the rails since then. In a good way. Not in a bad way. Okay, so let's talk about Kubo and the Two Strings. Back in the summer, I saw this movie and loved it. And Dirty A finally got to see it because it just came out on Blu-ray.
And I did not see it because I didn't want to. I did not want to see it.
Right.
So it didn't look like it appealed to me. So right. I just got around to seeing it after you bought it.
Yeah.
I bought it from you.
Yeah. So this movie is it's produced by Laika. Which is animation studio that does mainly, actually all, I shouldn't say mainly, they do all stop motion animation stuff. This one had, I think, a combination of stop motion and computer animation.
Definitely.
But in their other features, they did Coraline, they did Paranorman, and they did The Box Trolls. And those were all stop motion
animation. Which, to be fair, are way different movies than this one.
Yes, this one is very... I would say those... well, Coraline was based on something. That, I think that was based on a book. I think Kubo is... it's their first wholly original story.
Yeah, so Coraline was certainly a dark movie.
Right.
But this is more... This honestly is more of the wider appealing movie in terms of age, I think.
Right.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
One of the best animated movies I've ever seen. Stylistically, mm-hmm. the way the animation was done and the story,
yeah,
so just all really good.
You know, and Laika has kind of, you know, they take a backseat obviously to like Pixar, and even they take a backseat, I would say, even to like DreamWorks and those type. Like Pixar is like. They're the gold standard, basically, because they have fantastic stories and the animation's great, and they take their time and care with it. DreamWorks
they also have the money to do whatever.
Yes, because they're backed by Disney. Yeah. But Laika, I mean, Laika doesn't have Disney money, but sure. They're also backed apparently by some billionaire. I want to say it's Nike money.
Okay,
I think because somebody is involved with Nike, like somebody's father is involved with Nike, and they basically bankroll Laika. So even though their movies don't do nearly as well as Pixar, I mean, not even close.
No,
they're not. It's not. There's no worry that they're going to go out of business or anything anytime soon. But they do need some crossover appeal, and I was hoping that this one would be. That but
it didn't really do well, sadly.
It did not great, but it did, if I recall correctly, it did decent, but not what they were probably hoping for. To me, you know, we've seen a bunch of the animated movies this year. You know, we saw this, and we saw Finding Dory and Moana, and if this doesn't win the Oscar for Best Animated Feature, it's highway robbery.
This is clearly the best animated movie of the year.
I mean, better than any of the Disney Pixar stuff. It's great,
hands down.
But like I said, I mean, like they're known for doing like quirky, but you know, good, really, really good stuff. Paranorman was based on a young adult book or something like that, or maybe a picture book, or something like that, I believe. And Box Trolls, I think, was based on something, too. I don't know if it was a kid's book or something. I didn't see Box Trolls either. The trailer looked interesting, but I never saw it. And, you know, but then you got DreamWorks and, I guess, Illumination, which does, they do Despicable Me, and they just did, they're doing Sing, which comes out in December. I saw that already, though.
Nope.
It's cute.
Nope.
It's cute, but it's not, it's nothing to write home about. That one. But those two... They kind of lag behind in quality as far as I'm concerned, because DreamWorks will like basically, you shit this out? Oh, perfect. We're going to put this out.
It's funny because it's like when DreamWorks first came onto the animated scene, mm-hmm. they tried really hard. As if they didn't match these standards. No, they did really well. I mean,
well, they did the first Shrek.
Like Shrek was
and
great.
The first Shrek was great. But then what the problem was is they started chasing like Pixar. Pixar always seemed to me to be more artistic and more about creative
stuff. Original, yeah.
Whereas DreamWorks chased the money.
Exactly. Immediately, they went straight into, sequel.
Yeah.
Like, not new story. Right. We're just going to
follow
this down the rabbit hole and see where it goes.
From what I've heard...
And all the Shrek sequels were shit.
Yeah, they're garbage. From what I hear, I don't really watch it because it doesn't really interest me that much, even though I... like fantasy stuff. How to Train Your Dragon, I've heard they're good.
People seem to really like that movie. Yeah. I saw How to Train Your Dragon, and I just thought it was okay for me. Right. I didn't think it was great, and I didn't see the second one.
Right. So, but so DreamWorks is kind of hit or miss. And then Illumination is coming on a little bit now because they've done, you know, Despicable Me, and they did Minions, obviously. The Minions movie was not good at all. I mean, that's what happens when you take something that's a funny bit of a larger movie, and then you say, oh, now let's make a movie about this, and it's not, there was like no plot, basically. It was not that good. And like I said, they did Sing, and I want to say they did The Secret Life of Pets too, which I heard was not that great.
It wasn't good.
You saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, you did see it. That's right.
Yeah, not good.
Not good, yeah.
And yes, I think that is Illumination.
Yeah, I think it was Illumination too. So, Laika is kind of like in the middle there, in between Pixar and DreamWorks, I would say, because they're better quality-wise, but they're not making the money.
Yeah, they're finding it very hard to find their footing with the audience.
Yeah. But basically, Kubo and the Two Strings, it's about a boy named Kubo, who is played by Art Parkinson, who was, what's his face, on the youngest child in Game of Thrones. Bricken. No, yes.
You're looking at me as if I'm going to be able to tell you the answer to that question. I don't know.
But, wait, is that his name? Wait. Yes. Wait. Yes. So... There's been so many seasons, and the kids have grown up so much, it's like it's hard to remember. Unless, because he didn't have a big part in the show. He was there with Bran, and then he went off, and then he came back this last season, and
okay,
he won't be coming back. Anyway, so Kubo is a young boy living in Japan with his ailing mother. And during the day, they live like on this cliffside. This is very much like a fairy tale type story. So, if I describe it, it sounds kind of weird. That's why.
And by the way, she's not like elderly. She's ailing for a reason.
Right. Yes. Yes. She is. She's kind of got like memory issues and that kind of stuff. It seems like dementia type stuff.
What is it? It was from when she hit her head.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they live like in this cliffside dwelling, and Kubo goes to the nearby village to make money. And he entertains the villagers with, he has like these magical origami creations. And,
They're not necessarily magical.
He imbues them with magic. Yes. Yes. And, he regales the villagers with, tales of, his missing samurai father, Hanzo. And, the only rule that Kubo's mother has for him is that she needs to be home, before dark. Because otherwise her father, the Moon King, who's played by Ralph Fiennes, he can see
Kubo. He'll be able to, once it gets dark, he can see that the child still, she was basically hiding him out. That's how the story starts out.
Right.
And that's her rule. And basically to make money, to support them, he basically goes out and tells these fairy tales that she's told him.
Right.
About his father, who he's never met.
Right. And then other people trying to get at him are his mother's sisters. It's these twins. They're both played by Rooney Mara, voiced by Rooney Mara. And what happens is that Kubo gets caught out after dark. The sisters show up. They fight his mother. And then the next thing he knows, he's miles away. And his protector was this totem that he had. It was a monkey totem, and now that has come to life.
Yeah, the mother had magic,
right? Yeah,
which is where he.
Yeah, they all had magic. Right? Yeah.
So his original totem was his guitar.
Right.
That's how he conjured magic.
Right.
And she in her dying breath.
Yeah.
Brought this totem to life.
Right.
Monkey to kind of guide him in his journey.
Right. And Monkey is voiced by Charlize Theron. Basically, she's supposed to protect him in order so he can go defeat the Moon King. And he has to find, basically, he has to assemble a magic suit of armor.
Which he knows about through the stories his mother told
him. And the sword that can kill the villain. And along the way, Monkey and Kubo meet Beetle, who's played by Matthew McConaughey. And he's a cursed samurai who once served with Hanzo. And then they go on their journey to find the armor. And we don't want to give anything away. But it's a really spectacular film.
It really is. Like I said, the animation here, the style of this animation is the best I've seen on screen. I mean, I feel shitty that I didn't go see this in the theater now, because
yeah,
it was that good.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Was it in 3D in the theater? I don't remember.
I can't remember. Yeah, it might have been.
But the animation style here is amazing.
Yeah.
And the story is very engrossing.
Yeah. Very emotional story,
yes,
too.
Yes, yep.
Very, yeah, very much so. I mean, it was my... until I saw Arrival, basically. Because I'm always going to go with...
A more adult
picture. Yeah. But, I mean, Kubo is number two for me. Easily this year.
Yeah, it didn't. I'm not gonna say it quite did that much for him, but it's definitely in my top 10
as of right now. I mean,
it'll definitely make the top 10, but
yeah, for sure.
It wasn't quite up there for me, but it's an amazing movie. Like, take the animation out of this, it's a great movie.
Oh, Rickon, that's what his name. Rickon. I said Rickon.
So close.
I said Rickon. So close.
Add that B.
Sorry. Hey, George R. R. Martin. Yeah, got to move on. There's other, George Takei is in this. He plays a bit part.
Yeah, very bit part.
It would have been, I mean, that's one little knock, that I had, against the film, because it's a very Japanese tale. And, you know, while all the voice actors are great, it's like, really, you couldn't have found any Japanese, you know, leads to do this. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was kind of that was the one little knock I had against it, but
that studios are always going to do that.
They're always going to do that, you know. We'll be having the same conversation when we eventually go see Ghost in the Shell, which is, you know, based on an anime.
Well, you'll be having the conversation probably by yourself.
You don't want to go see that movie?
That's
oh, really? Oh, interesting. I would have thought you wouldn't want to see that.
No.
I mean, at least that's not animated.
I probably will. I don't know shit about that story. I don't know anything.
Oh, you don't have to know anything about it. I mean, because from what I can tell from the trailer, it's going to be... I think it's going to pull from different iterations that they've done of
gotcha.
It. So it's not going to be based on... Because if it was going to be based on just the first one... I would like, I don't know how you're expecting to make any money at all, because it's very bizarre.
Very and specific.
Yeah.
With, cult fan base.
Yes. Yeah. 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 But even like the producer for that, and I can't remember if it was one of the Japanese producers for it, said like, look, you know, we got to sell this movie. And if it's going to be based, you know, if an American company's putting up money for it, you know, they're going to cast Americans in the roles. They're not going to, you know, necessarily cast Japanese actors, which is, you know, too bad. But honestly, I mean, when I'm watching that, when I watch the anime, because I rewatched that recently. It's on Hulu, and I rewatched it getting ready for the live action version. When I look at, I mean, maybe I'm just not very versed in how they draw the characters or whatever. But when I'm looking at Scarlett Johansson's character in animated form, I'm like, she doesn't look Asian to me. It's like she looks like they drew a white girl. So it's like, you know, right. So it's a Caucasian girl. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me not being well versed in anime, because I like a couple and that's about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, anime's not my thing.
Yeah, I liked Akira, and I love Cowboy Bebop. You'd like Cowboy Bebop. That's a lot of fun. That show is really good. I have it if you want to borrow it. But yeah, Kubo and the Two Strings. It's definitely worth your time. It's
fantastic
on
movie,
yeah. It's on Blu-ray right now. Just came out. So definitely go check that out.
Yeah, if this doesn't win Best Animated Picture, I won't know what to say.
They'll probably give this fucking Finding Dory.
Yeah.
I would even be probably better if they gave it to Moana.
Yeah, Moana's better than Finding Dory. In my view.
I mean, but
This movie is like
leaps and bounds
above both of them.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I like Finding Dory a lot more than you did, I think.
Yes,
you did. But even after I saw Kubo, I was like, oh my God, I'm like, this like blows that away.
No, it's not even close. So I won't really know what to say if the Academy gives this to a Disney movie this year. I won't know what to say.
What you'll say is, fuck Disney. Oh, wait, did I say that too loud? Oh God. Are they outside? Wait.
They're coming to get you.
The stormtroopers are here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Looks like I'll be going to Rogue One by myself. They've already revoked your ticket.
No! No! But yeah, so that'll do it, I guess, for this short and sweet episode of the Hot Trash Podcast. Unless you have anything you want to add about Kubo and Two Strings.
It was great. Nope, that's it.
Like I said, next episode we'll more than likely have Matt on, and Matt thought it was technically stellar, and he liked the story. He liked the story, but I don't think he loved it as much as we did. But he definitely liked it. Yeah, so we'll probably have Matt here next time to discuss Westworld, and maybe we'll throw in a review or two, depending on when we record, real quick, because I think we have a screening for La La Land this week, and we're supposed to be going to see Office Christmas Party next weekend.
Nocturnal Animal.
To be honest, we should probably do two separate episodes then, because because the more movies you throw on there, the more it's going to take away from Westworld, and that's that's going to eat the whole episode. Yep. But yeah, so thanks for listening, folks. Check out Kubo and the Two Strings, and we'll see you next time.